being just the written portion is being adjusted so that it more precisely identifies what we're asking for. So thank you. We can move on to President's report. I'm going to keep this brief because I suspect we're going to have quite a bit of discussion regarding the budget, and I'm sure you would also like to get back to those of you that have been listening in to the Planning Commission's meeting there for the county, which has proved to be, very interesting. So quickly then, I would, and I don't know if they're on the call or not, but I think congratulations are in order for Ken Lovegreen, Bill Russo, and Dave and Eric over in 700 building. They passed their fire inspection with flying colors, and I think people need to understand the single most powerful individual in the state is the fire marshal. I mean, he can shut business down, with just his signature. They were actually, my understanding is, very complimentary to all of the improvements that were done at the 700 building. And I bring this up so that hopefully when Ken Lovegreen meets with the President's Forum, that he will share that information with them so all the buildings don't have to reinvent the wheel, and they can try to follow that template on how to get satisfactory approval, because Tina can tell you she met with the inspectors on several occasions here over the past couple of months, and again, Tina, maybe you can just quickly say what happens if they put you on fire watch.
Oh my goodness, what happens is they come out, now they hadn't been out to La Penn for quite a while, and what happens if you don't pass the fire inspection, they can put you on fire watch. And what that means is you have to have or hire somebody 24 hours a day until you get off of fire watch because of whatever problem there is, walking around with a fire extinguisher, and the normal rate for that's $100 an hour, 24 hours a day.
7 days a week.
Yeah, 7 days a week. So everybody kind of snaps to attention when you get your list, or you should be snapping to attention, that you get these things fixed. The local fire marshal that comes out, not the head one, has been very, very reasonable, and they usually come out like on a 45-day basis, and if you're doing things, if things are ordered, if they see you're making an effort, they'll work with you. So but this has been kind of going on for 2 or 3 months, I think, now. And everything, I believe, is looking pretty good.
Okay, so thank you, but I would ask Ken Lovegreen to please share that information with the other presidents to make it easier for each building.
Do you want to talk about the fire pump at the moment, or is
we'll hold off until
okay.
Hey, David?
Yes, sir.
Just so you know, Building 400 has a passing grade for the fire marshal.
All right, good. Congratulations, Mark. And maybe you also, when you guys, you can add what you did to, to pass that, because the consequences are dire if you don't, and very expensive. Pleased to report as a follow-up from our last meeting, and we've been kind of bringing this up over the last several months. I know many residents have asked what's going on with the marina. Why is it in a, and I wouldn't call it a state of disrepair, but it experienced some damage, and they were concerned, and so was our engineer and inspector, that why has that not been addressed? Well, it has been addressed. I had another conversation yesterday with Frank Resta from 600 building, and he gave me a little more specifics, but I believe they're starting today.
You are muted. You can mute or unmute yourself by pressing star six.
Today, and I didn't realize how extensive the repair that is planned was to be, because it will take 3 weeks is the estimated time to complete that. And that's going to be removal of several of the impregnated pilings. It will be replacement and repair of the walkout dock in the C-section of the marina. And they're putting an additional piling, as I believe I explained last month, so that it's not attached to the seawall cap. And that is at some additional expense to the marina owners, but it's kind of what's been mandated. So I want to thank Frank for being informative and certainly staying on top of it. You know, we look forward to seeing the marina back in the state that it was 2 years ago. I'd also like to thank, and unfortunately Denise is not on the call, but I wanted to thank her for continuing and trying to meet with the people to get the rain leaders installed so that it would decrease the amount of inflow into the retention ponds. I'd kind of like to know where the 200 and 400 buildings are with that project. I know in the past the 200 building had agreed to tie into the 12-inch pipes that come from the retention ponds as their overflow pipes. And since they had the change in their board members, we've received no follow-up as to what their intentions are. That information is available. If the 200 building board would like to utilize some of the resources that the master has accumulated so that you're not reinventing the wheel.
Interrupt you for a minute?
Sure.
Next Wednesday, 300 and myself are going to meet with Acuzzo, who is the contract, not Acuzzo, I'm sorry. Not you, Frank. Acuzzo. And they're the contractors that did 500 and 600. That meeting is Wednesday morning. And Mark and I are going to talk either yet this afternoon or tomorrow about 400s. So anybody else that wants to get a hold of me, Acuzzo will be on site next Wednesday at 9 o'clock.
So, Nancy, perhaps you could get a hold, and I don't know if your 200 building board president is on the call or any board members are on the call, but if you could supply that information, to them.
Yeah, I will. I thought I sent an update after the last one, but I'll contact them again about see where they're at.
We've been very fortunate. As you know, this past week particularly, I was informed that we had extremely high tides, and I think it's, moon phase and everything else, but water, the high tide mark, it was a 5.5-foot tide, and it was almost to the top of the seawall cap. We, of course, have some overtopping, but, with the splash wall and wave walls in place, there was fortunately no flooding or anything. So that was a little bit of luck. Can you imagine if we had that 5.5-foot tide and then a high wind coming out of the west or the southwest, we would be severely testing our stormwater management system. So, again, thanks for those that have had an interest in trying to move this along. As you also know, we have been transplanting the wild grass from the 200-300 pond, and I think the 300-400 pond now, and moving it around a little bit. We put some in the 400-500 pond, which has always, for me, been a pond of concern because it is one that is very easily influenced by high wind and high tides. But we had done plantings with bahia grass there last year, which we paid for, but obviously the wild grass we're transplanting is free of charge. You know, it's just a matter of the labor to get it moved, but it's taken hold. And then what that does, it absorbs the water quicker. So you don't have all that stagnant water sitting in the ponds for weeks on end. I don't know, Tina, would you want to add anything to that?
No, it's just everything's growing really well. We have rain every day, and that's what we needed to get all that rooted. So.
Okay. Let's see, we one legal issue, we are still awaiting from the arbitration judge what allocation we're receiving of our attorney fees, and as soon as we know that, we'll make that information available. But you know, just be aware that it, we'll have this discussion further on and during our budget discussions. Those are there are unknowns out there that it's hard to plan for. And with that, let's move on to our treasurer's report. And I think, Nancy, if you just want to report on the most recent month, and then we'll hold the budget discussion for new business.
All right. I actually have not gotten the latest September, and so I had August, so there really isn't any change since the last one. So I didn't.
And I think that's fine because, you know, Resort has always told us that if we have a meeting before the 15th, it's very likely that we won't have those available because
yeah.
They haven't collected all the bank statements yet.
Yeah, and we did have, so we did have the update for last time, so I did. I did July last time, so I'm just waiting for August. So, yeah, we're right on the cusp of that due date, so I don't have anything different.
Okay, appreciate that. Thank you. Let's move on then. Are there any committee reports? Anything that someone feels they have to talk about? Okay, it's unfortunate, and I think I've expressed this, that I was hoping the President's Committee would have had a meeting by now. Because there are those two issues that I think are rather important for the community that were talked about last month, I was hoping we would have some movement on some of that by now, but we've been assured by Tom Rupp that they have a meeting scheduled for October.
Yes.
Ida is unable to be on the call today because her husband has COVID, which they contracted on a trip back apparently from Vancouver. She thinks she may have it as well now. And she had no information from ARC. And as for the clubhouse, those of you that are there in person, had the opportunity to see the flooring that was put in at the clubhouse. The pictures anyway. I have not seen a person, but the pictures. It is such an improvement over that old mildew rotted carpet that was in there before. They negotiated an incredible price. I mean, effectively, a pennies on the dollar to have that quality of flooring installed at the price that they did. So thank you to the committee members that, you know, have been working on all of that. And I think I had, there were some concerns about some of the community committee members regarding procedure and transparency and leadership. And I think in that conversation that I had, some of those issues will be soon settled in the future. There's a Vita told me she will schedule a meeting as soon as she is physically able, and that there are some requirements in our declarations, being that that committee is a board-sanctioned committee, and even though at this time I think it was described as an ad hoc committee, but it's still under the auspices, I believe, section 4.5 or something of our amended declaration. So you know, there has to be notice, posting, and you know, a summary of what took place and what was decided upon, you know, for submission then to the board to then, particularly when it comes time to spend money. I know that did not happen in this first phase, but it was a bit chaotic. And, you know, the bottom line, people, I mean, it's kind of like the first time we've done this. The Clubhouse Committee has not been active at all in the previous 10 years. So the amazing amount of work that that committee accomplished in a relatively short period of time, and the results, I mean, you can't argue against success, and I think it was a huge success. Now, you know, it perhaps needs to be administratively rectified somewhat, but again, you can't argue with success. So I hope all the ladies understand how grateful, you know, we all are as a community to them for you know, their hard work. I know there were some problems with reimbursement and everything, but you know, that's an ongoing problem with everyone. Unless all the T's are crossed and the I's are dotted, reimbursement just takes time. So hopefully this will all be smoothed out within the next month or so. And again, thank you for all your time and commitment. With that, let's move on to our old business. We're going to hear from Gary. I think that we need to make a decision either this month or next month when we want to send those proxies out, but I will pass it along to Gary, who's heading the road repair one-man committee. Gary?
Thank you, David. Well, I'm hoping that I can end up demonstrating as much success as the Clubhouse Committee has done, but I have to report that so far I'm a bit frustrated in my first efforts, in the first step that needs to be done, and that's getting a civil engineer that I could recommend to the board. I've contacted numerous civil engineers. I've sent them a letter outlining what we want in terms of their services, and the ones that I've heard back from, and sometimes it's taken more than one effort to get a response from them, but the main message I'm getting back from them is that they are full. Their load level is full. They're not taking on any new projects, and I'm having a difficult time finding a civil engineer who has interest in this project. I haven't given up. I still have a couple of new leads that I'm going to follow up on, but as you all know, probably the first thing we need to do is to get a civil engineer on board, and one of the tasks I outlined for them was to provide an engineer's estimate of costs, which would be nice to have before we go out for our proxy vote, because then we would have a professional giving us an estimate of costs. But at this point, I do not have an engineer. I will continue working on it, and just wish me luck, and I'll keep going.
Okay, thanks. I know it's kind of putting the cart before the horse, but a couple of the contractors that had submitted submitted bids in the past stated that they would supply an engineer. But as I've said on multiple occasions in the past, I'd never go into a project without having our own project manager, particularly after what we went through with the seawall. I think it's imperative, even though they have their own engineer, their engineer will spec it all out, and I'm sure, you know, they'll require bore tests and, you know, check substrates and have certain requirements. It's still not like having your own guy that is looking after our best interests, perhaps a bit more expensive, but in the long run, you know, we'll be certain to save money. Just as we, you know, I think, and we'll get into this a little bit when we start talking about the budget, so I won't labor the point, but, you know, once we go into pavers, we'll only then have to allocate, you know, $1,500 to $2,000 a year for annual maintenance. There won't be a reserve that we'll have to set aside as we do now, you know, to have replacement, you know, with asphalt. So in the long run, this will save money. It's just, you know, convincing people that this is the way to go. But, yeah, we need to have the facts in front of us. So please keep looking. I mean, if you have to start going through the yellow pages there to solicit an engineer, you know, and then we can ask for references and go from there. You know, I think Forge is the engineering company that several of the buildings have used, and I'm surprised that they don't have somebody available. Have you spoken to someone, Gary, from Forge?
Yeah, I've talked with Felix Anton, who is the engineer. He was with Forge, and now he's with a new firm. And they didn't have anybody in their firm, but he recommended me to another firm. And I've contacted them. I've contacted them three times, and I'm not getting a return call. But he thought that they would be interested in the project. So they're still on my list to get a no from. I don't quit on these guys until they actually tell me no, just because they don't respond. But that was the only name I got from them.
Okay, and I understand that realistically you could do this yourself because this is what you do for a living, but you know, I have engineering friends as well that, you know, would be willing to, but I think it's in all our best interests if we formalize this and get outside professional help.
I totally agree, David.
Okay. Good deal. Thanks a lot, Gary, for your efforts, and, you know, please keep trying and keep us, I mean, we're hoping that certainly before the end of the year we'd like to get that proxy out. I would have liked to have gotten it out in October. That gives us then November, December, January, you know, to collect the proxies, which are good for 90 days. You know, then in the springtime, you know, begin the project. So, okay, thank you very much. New business. This is something that is a work in progress, and that's our budget for 2023. The community is not going to be happy about it. I mean, I'll start that, particularly since with inflation being 8.7%, with assessments, special assessments for the renovations, and I mean, we're still doing repairs from Hurricane Irma. There's so many unsettled things there. We know we have to get this road replaced, and we're trying to do it without another special assessment. You know, the reality is, and I'm not pointing fingers at anyone, but as much of this was neglected for the past 25 to 30 years. I mean, it just infrastructure was allowed to deteriorate. And now, with the state mandate about having engineers come in and that you have to have a reserve, for structural changes in all the buildings coming up, I mean, this is another added burden. So with that in mind, we tried to skim this down as much as we could. I'll let Nancy go into the details about this. And I would ask the board members, please, solicit input from your constituents to see if they have any ideas. They may have thought of something that we haven't thought of. And, of course, you yourselves, please, your input is welcome. This is just a template, and I think we have an explanation for why we've made any changes to that template. And, Nancy, if you could take over from here.
Aaron, let me get the budget up on the screen. Hold on. Okay, Nance, take it away.
Okay, so this budget, and excuse some of the rough, if there's some columns that don't make sense or something, I take the resort formal budget and I copy and paste it in, and there's embedded commands and it gets kind of screwy, but it works for me. This will go back to resort then, and they'll put it all in the proper format. But this is just the one that I work with as I go through ideas with David and Tina about what's up and what's down. So if we just start line by line, annual fees and licenses. Some of these we just rounded up a bit to reflect what we think would be minimal inflation. And then where there are larger increases is where we see, like David said, either the endemic, or what do I want to say, just shortages that have occurred and not addressed over time. So we're fixing those as well. So annual fees and licenses, we're $950. We're spending at about that rate, so we just kept that at $1,000. Insurance, $40,000 was up last year. We've spent $36,000 to date, so we figure we're right on track. Most insurance is paid earlier in the year, so we inflation allowed for that. We went up to $41,500. Office supplies and postage, we kept at the same amount, hoping that as we go into electronic delivery of more of the notices, that will save money. But if we're going to be doing a proxy vote, it has to be paper per the statute, then this is going to spend some money. Accounting, $7,500 covers all of our year-end closings and work except for that. And we'll talk about an audit later. David, is that correct? You'll bring that up at the end?
Right.
Okay. So we just kept that number the same. Legal, we kept it the same even though we have not spent as much. We have the pending 200 building arbitration charges. And then, obviously, David's involved in things with the Mitchell property I do not have, not privy to. So we thought it was best to keep the money that's obviously here in the 2022 budget that hasn't been spent, and then keep the same amount going for next year. Legal fees and collections is usually pretty a minimal amount, and so we reduced that just by $50, but just a small token reduction. Security, we haven't spent the money yet. And David, let me ask the questions I'm going through this. Do you want me to just run through it and then have everybody come back with questions rather than stopping at each item?
No, I would prefer the way you're doing it, but this may be the opportune time for Tina to step in and...
Okay, let me do that. I'll get Tina or you to step in to explain any of these aberrations. But if everyone would jot down where they have a comment, then we'll go back into questions later.
Okay.
So, Tina, do you want to explain on the...
For security, we kept the $20,000 in there because if we are able to at some point put in fencing, if anything's resolved in the lawsuit, we have the money for that. But we are also looking into some new security systems that are really interesting. David, you want me to go into detail on one of them? Or?
Well, just that, yes. I mean, but not too detailed, but...
Okay.
Right. Basically what it entails, not, about what happens when you have guests and stuff, but the overall and then the cost.
about, and it's called a virtual guard. And what it is if, and there's a lot of different things that you put in and take out if you need extra gates, if you need this, if you need that. But basically, you put a sticker that has a barcode on the back of your rearview mirror, and if you are an owner and or a registered guest that the owner has said you can come in anytime you want, you pull up to the gate and you go in. Then it goes to, if the UPS people and the Amazon people, they actually go up to a kiosk where a real person comes to you and from a control center, and they get credentials, they see that there's a UPS truck or whatever, so they go in. If you have a guest that is not registered, they will come up to the gate, they will put their driver's license, put it into this kiosk, a guard will come up, the guard will question them where they're going, what they're doing, they will call the owner to get approval, and then they will get in. And there's a few more details we need to go into. I think it's a pretty interesting system in that you have a real person, a real guard, not on site, but 24/7. And I don't know details yet because we just found out about one company is going to give me a quote next week, but I'm sure there's other companies out there that do the same thing. And what we're doing is you'll pay for the hard system, in other words, the kiosk and the cameras and that type of thing. It's going to be about $25,000. The difference between this system and the one we have now is it's greater, later technology. But we will have to pay a fee of approximately $3,000 a month to pay for the manning of this system with these real people. So it all remains to be seen, but we're looking into everything. You guys know that. So that's all.
So in terms of the budget, if you were able to get a good bid on this virtual agent and it was $25,000, that would use the funds that are committed for calendar year 2022, that $25,000 sitting there. And then the $20,000 going forward could be for other fencing and gating or the yearly fee for the virtual agent. So this budget number fits pretty well.
But it doesn't carry over, remember, but we will have it.
No, I just said, if you contract it before the end of the year.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you just might add too, Tina, you can use a clicker still if you wanted to get in as an owner, or they put a barcode on your vehicle and all you do is pull up and the gate automatically opens.
If you use a clicker, does it record that you're going in as an owner?
I don't know details yet, Nancy.
Okay, interesting.
Wait.
All right, thank you.
That's the gist of it. I like it. I think it's a good idea.
So even given what we didn't even have that when we put this in because we were hoping to have something committed by the end of the year. So this kind of thing, it fits, and it fits the use of the money in 2022 and then the planning ahead for the money in 2023.
Right.
Okay, I'm going to go forward unless you have anything else, Tina.
No, we're good. Go ahead.
So the tax prep, we kept the same at 300. That's pretty standard each time. Most of the work is done up in that accounting line where they do all the year-end closing, the reconciliations, the bank accounts, et cetera. So the tax prep is just usually a much simpler function after all that reconciliation is done. That's why tax prep is so low and accounting is higher. Management service and staffing, the $24,000 for next year per resort, their estimate of what our contract will be. Activities and expenses, this is the $4,000, which would reflect the $3,000 to the Capri Association. We've made it a donation in past years called it that, but talking about renewing it as a membership, team, I think, and then we'd have $1,000 for other expenses. Then on-site staffing for resort again, $30,000, that's a pretty standard fee for our maintenance guy and other things that happen in on-site staffing. Utilities, electricity has been pretty constant, so we only upped that a little for inflation to $16,500. The telephone is the landline in the clubhouse and the related to, I'm not sure, I think it's just that landline in the clubhouse we have to have for fire, etc. And so that one we upped it just to keep it the same amount. Water, guys telling you how the water bills were higher, lower, mostly higher. Tina went back and did a very studious study of the billings for the past few years, and we really have been building on a prior year budget number. Like, we didn't build it up, and I'll take some of the blame for not looking at that. Resort can take a little for plugging in an old number, and I didn't catch it. But anyway, what's happened is we've been overspending. We've been spending at a higher rate. That's our actual water cost. So, in effect, really, we have to have 45.5 to cover a year's worth of water. So that's why that one went up. There's not been some $15,000 change that's causing some new use of water. This reflects the historic use of water at this place. The sewer has been constant, so we kept that at $2,600. Cable TV was another one where we just had an old number from 21 in. It goes up, been going up 3% a year. It's in the contract to allow for that. Even with that, we weren't quite caught up, so we took the actual billing. $195,000 should reflect the actual cable billing. And while that sounds like an extraordinary large number of dollars, which I agree, I look at it and think, wow, that's huge. If you divide the cable and internet service that we have per unit, you divide it up, it's about, I think, David, when I figured out, it's like $80 or $90 a month for cable and internet, which I don't know about you guys, but that's a lot cheaper than what I pay in San Francisco. So even though it's a large amount, it is a service, part of the HOA that we all pay for. So now it actually reflects the current billing.
And isn't this contract up in 2025 anyway?
Yes, and I put that in there. It expires May of 25. So yeah, so hopefully we'll see where we're at. I mean, honestly, if any of us think something's going to be cheaper in the future, I don't know what world you're living in, but the one I live in, everything's more expensive in the future. But that doesn't mean we won't go looking at this contract and have another group review it when we get ready for a new contract. Propane gas was $2,000. I think this has been a topic that Tina has spent a lot of her time on. Tina, maybe you would like to address why we thought it would be best to go up to $4,000.
Well, when the number of $2,000 was in, it's been in for a number of years, and you realize that propane has gone up dramatically. So there's no way we could even attempt to keep the pool heated with $2,000. So we have put in $4,000 for additional. And what you have to understand is not only are you buying propane when it's cooler out, you're also spending more money for electricity, because first there's two electric pumps that heat the pool. And then when they can't keep up, then the propane kicks in. So you're spending a substantial amount of money. So we have up to $4,000, and we're just going to see where that goes. But I really think this needs to come up for discussion possibly at a later time. But I don't think the pool should be open when it's 37 degrees. I mean, it can be open, and if you want to swim in it, that's fine. But it's not going to be 86 degrees when it's 37 outside.
Yeah, the incremental cost from, and when it's 30s and 40s outside, to take a pool that's probably leftover warmth from the day before, and it's probably in the mid-70s, and to crank it up to 80, whatever, 85, 86, it's not even a bell curve. It's just like an exponential increase in the amount of gas it takes on such a cold day to take it up. Right. So we could spend a great percentage of it on one day trying to get the heat up on a 37 degree day, than to just make a decision that on certain days it's not going to get up to 86 degrees.
With the prices that are on right now, we could spend that $4,000 if it was cold for 2 weeks.
And the other thing Tina does too is we don't fill the tank up full, because otherwise we're paying premium propane prices, and if we do try to conserve it somewhat, we have expensive propane sitting in a tank not used. So Tina has been judicious in ordering, taking into account delivery charges, in order that we only put in there what we would maintain over a certain number of weeks or months or whatever. Rather than having a tank full of expensive propane. Hopefully, if propane goes down, which gas, and you know, we've all seen gas going down, propane will go down some too. It just doesn't pay for us to have paid all that extra money at the higher rate and then have it sit there in the tank.
I think Nash been as high as $10 here in the recent past. I think it's unlikely that it's going to go down over this next year, and particularly, you know, with the political climate in our country, you know, whereby the oil and gas companies have been restricted in doing additional, and drilling, and they just don't want to invest any more money because their investment, in fact, they keep getting pressured, as you know, to move towards electricity, they'll never realize gains from their investment. So I would not expect that to go down. It went from 2,000 to 4,000 because the price has doubled since that $2,000 figure was plugged in there.
And it's a 1,000-gallon tank. So let us have some comments. If you don't think we're thinking
of not right now, Tina. We're not going into comments. I really want to.
I know.
Yeah, but keep your comments, and everyone should bring those back up along with the other things you said.
Right.
Okay, I'm going to keep going. Brown's contract. That's with Roco. Those are the all the mowing and everything. So we figured just a small amount of inflation is going to occur with their contract. So we went to 33. Grounds maintenance, we bumped that up 5,000 because we have not replenished the mulch in a few years, and so $5,000 of that. The regular grounds maintenance at 15 would probably hold, but then we added the extra amount to reflect that it really does need some good mulching around here. The irrigation system was 2,000, and then you see 12,000. Wow, is that a bump? Yes. There is a meter moisture system that Tina wants to look into seriously that will also help us with our water bill. If you remember, our water bill is high. And Tina, why don't you walk us through that metering system a little better?
Okay, this is another one of those new deals that's been out for a while that we're antiquated. And rather than having the, what do you call them, rain meters? No. Those little test things, rain sensors that stick up. And when the sponge gets wet and the little cup fills up, then the irrigation goes off. Well, what they're doing now is they're putting moisture meters actually in the ground, which gives you a much better reading because you don't have the wind and the sun on them. So you really know what the ground needs. And they're claiming that it's anywhere from 20 to 30% reduction in water. So we're doing this along with the water bill. I should also say at this time, we're looking into a couple systems like that, and we're also looking into putting in a new water meter, which we have basically four or five bills, the master board alone, and they don't add them all up to give you total usage. They're all individually priced, and in the water in our area is a tiered system. So by putting in another meter, which by the time you dig and get the meter, meters alone are $6,000, might cost $10,000 to put it in, but you will you'll pay for that in a year, maybe a year and a half. So all of these things are for the irrigation and for the water. Okay, Nance.
Okay, back to my list. Okay, so now ground contract. Tree trimming. Tree trimming, that's an old number, too. There really wasn't getting us two full tree trimmings a year. It's really more like 4,000. And so while we haven't spent the money yet in this year, we have a huge tree trimming coming up in the coming months.
They're doing it now.
Doing it now. Yep. So that'll take the 2,500, spend most of that. And then we think 4,000 next year will reflect two times a year. Pest control has gone up. We spent $1,000 instead of $500, so we went up $1,250. I don't know about you guys, but I've seen more termites around and some other stuff, and so they've done a good job of keeping the little inchworms out, you know, those ones that climb everywhere. I think they're actually centipedes or millipedes, but anyway, we decided that's an important thing. It's going to ongoing, $1,250 will cover it.
Nancy, may I interrupt you here?
Yeah.
I know when dolphins pays their own pest control individual, besides having the monthly, I believe, and sprays around the building and stuff. I'm just curious, are the other buildings doing the same?
Yeah, 200 has their own. We have our own contract there, yeah. We have both an inside test and an outside test.
So effectively, this pest control is primarily the clubhouse.
And the ground.
Clubhouse and all the common areas, which are pretty substantial. If those weren't controlled, then all those critters would just migrate right onto the rest of the building.
The pool, the pump house, the clubhouse.
The entryway.
The tennis courts, you know, all that.
I think most buildings do have a contract. I know we do in 100. I think almost everybody does.
Yeah, I think most buildings do.
Yeah, I know that Robo also does their own pest control on their plantings. You know, we see caterpillars, we tell him, and they come and they take care of them.
Yeah, right. But this is, I think this is actual regular spraying for, like I said, the millipede types.
Right, and termites primarily.
Well, termites are in the ground. I just discovered this. There's ground termites and there's then the ones that fly. Anyway, yeah, you're right. I'm going off on
Hang on one thing, but I just, you know, we scheduled this meeting for 1 o'clock so that people could attend the 9 o'clock meeting, and it was just reported to me by Ken Lovegreen, who's trying to attend both meetings, that the Planning Commission favors keeping Capri as C3. There was only one person, that Joe Schmidt, and it was obvious if you guys listened to the meeting that he favored the change to C5. So just so everyone knows, that's what's going on.
Good deal. But that's good news.
Yep.
Okay, I'll try to wrap this up in a little quicker. Building maintenance, we said spent about 10. Obviously, we spent 14. We're talking about an AC fix in the clubhouse. It's not 100% needed. We put it in as an eventuality. Well, that's in there. Ponds and sewer, we're happy to see that it was 12.5 because we were doing a lot of all that planting and everything that David talked about. We've only spent $1,250, $5,000. We think next year will represent a good positive, keeping the ponds in good shape. And then $9,500 for janitorial will drop down to $7,500. We have a contract with a lower cost. This interior pest control is in the clubhouse, which has also been spending at a lower rate. The pool contract, that's just the standard pool. They come in, you know, they clean, they fix it up and everything. That's gone to, that's at $6,000. We just have a new contract, $500 a month. Pool equipment and furniture and equipment, we kept at the same amount. We spent those down. As you know, all know, we voted at the last meeting. And so we put that same amount of money in to maintain the pool and equipment. Clubhouse improvements, David might want to talk a little more about this, but we spent $20,000. I think they're spending the last of it now, plus we added in for that floor, which was not in the budget. So we decided that next year, given the other things that need a lot of attention, that it might be more realistic to allow some improvements, but to cut that down a bit to actually about half, 12.5. Entrance gate, the gate always is breaking or doing something wrong, even as Tina works to get everything fixed. And so $1,000 for all of those regular calls. You know, this also covers when someone bumps the gate and has to get back on track, et cetera.
And then
maintenance service and contracts is a constant. We're just kind of getting those all set up so that stays at $3,000. Fire alarm repairs, this is not anything to do with the pump or anything. These are just keeping all our fire alarms and up to speed. We, as Dave said, we want to keep the fire chief happy, and so we're going to make sure there's adequate funding for that. Contingency, I put in $15,000, but really that number just ends up at whatever is used to balance this budget out, with obviously recognizing there will be some contingent money spent. Reserve fund contribution, you can see it went up to $140. This is something we need to discuss a little further. David wanted to put some more cushion into the reserve and add $2,000. We're not sure about the process for this, so bear with us on that $140 for now. So, David, do you want to get to the end and explain about what's happening with maintenance fees? I mean the number of units, the yearly maintenance fees, the quarterly fee, et cetera.
Yeah. Can you scroll? scroll down just a little more, Brett, please? We have made every effort to try to minimize this. Unfortunately, as you can see, we're currently paying $936 quarterly. Unfortunately, it's going to have to increase to $994.11. Call it Putin inflation. Whoever you want to blame it on, but it's out there and it's real. And I think this is not an 8.7% increase, which is what we're paying on everything else. And percentage-wise, I'm not sure, actually, Nancy, what that comes to. I mean, I could do a quick calculation.
I'm doing it right now.
Okay. So
it's a 6% increase.
6%. Yeah, so we're keeping it below the inflation cost, and I think everyone needs to understand, I think the board members sure may understand that how difficult this is to try to accomplish what we hope to get accomplished, without constantly having to ask for more money. So we've kept it as slim as conceivable. And I guess now, let's hear from the other board members, some of their opinions on some of this stuff. Pull out the line item that you may have a concern about, and we can discuss that. Let me just remind everyone, our reserve fees, even though we are, every year we allocate the same amount, which is $138,000, towards our reserves. If we do get the road completed, that particular line item, will disappear, and it'll translate then into a maintenance fee, a yearly maintenance fee. So we won't have to put up the reserve. But if you look at the reserve items, you'll see. Nancy, are you going to go into reserves or not?
I can. I guess what we were talking about on some of this was, it's a very complicated thing because the life on these items is not realistic. Some of them are too long. Some of them are too short. The dollar amounts are not reflective, not high enough in some, are too high on others. Trying to change this cash reserve flow right now while we're trying to do a budget, Tina and David and I thought that it was just way complex right now, and especially given that we have this up in the air with what to do with the pavers versus asphalt for the drive. So we thought if we could add the $2,000 in to just put a little cushion in there, a little more money, and we still don't know how we accomplish that because it's not allocated to an item. If we just left the reserves alone and then figure out what's happening with the driveway, and in the spring when we get this budget we're starting, is really go into this reserve because it takes a vote to change this. And so we don't want to rush through something in order to get a budget that we have to have in place to start in January. Does that make sense?
That does. And just as anecdotally, if you look at our reserve funds, for example, in 36 years, we're going to need a new seawall. I'm not sure how many of us will be here in 36 years, but that number that was plugged in initially was plugged in at $4 million. Now, realistically, does anyone believe a new seawall in 36 years is going to cost only $4 million? If you read some of the trade journals, we are not alone. I mean, all the different associations for the reverse reserve funds are all realistically underfunded, because one of the reasons that's understandable today is no one anticipated 8.7% inflation. So, add that in there, and somewhere along the line we're going to have to reconcile some of this, but we can't do it now. I think that's what Nancy's referring. We now is not the time to do that. This is for a different discussion. If you look empirically where we're at, we're actually in pretty good shape. We have over 700,000 there, sitting there between our operating and the reserve funds. I'd like to see that closer to $1 million. And and I think we can do that, or we can get it there over the next few years if we keep being judicious in what we spend and don't initiate some new grant project. But anyway, with that, Nancy, if you want to continue or open it up to the rest of the board members, and then ultimately to any membership that's out there that would like to make comments.
Yeah, I think we should open it up. And like you said, Dave, that reserve is just, some of them are over budgeted, we found. Some are under budgeted, and the seawall is just its own, you know, creature out there on its own. So I would propose not touching the reserve at this time and opening up to questions on the operating budget for next year.
But let me just say, okay, so then we can save $2,000 by putting our reserve fees back to 138 instead of 140,000.
Yeah, we can do that, because I'm not actually sure how we would physically or legally do that as well. So if we're just looking for
the host,
right,
would like you to unmute your microphone.
Order that
you can
our
press star 6
expense.
To unmute.
Now I would suggest, yeah, we take that 2,000 out, take that down. It'll knock a few dollars out of there, and I'll have that ready to show. In fact, I'll do it on my little side one, and I'll tell you what it goes down to if you want to take the first question, David.
Okay. Let me then just say one other thing here before we let the board members comment on this. Understand the process here now. So we're going to take this. You guys are going to share it with whomever you want to share it with. You're going to study it. We're having our special.
The host would like you to unmute your microphone.
Proxies will have
you can press star 6 to unmute.
Hopefully we'll have a quorum. The tentative date for that is October 13th. You know, we will at least have two things on there, and that, or rather, we'll have at least one thing on there, and hopefully we can word the proxy in such a way that if we do need to make some adjustments, we can do it real time, but we also have to have commitment to roll over all the excess funds from the 2022 budget into 2023. So, I mean, that's mandated, so we're going to have to do that. And then and after the, if we have a quorum for the membership, if the members approve the budget, then it goes to the board, which will have a meeting immediately following the membership meeting. Besides other business, the primary the purpose of that meeting will be to then formally approve the 2023 budget, just so everybody understands the concept. I mean, we're not going to keep seeing this budget, you know, week or month in and month out. No, this is now crunch time. This is the proposal, and this is what the discussion needs to be. All the members will receive a copy of what we agree on today and dissect it, and the members make that determination. One of the things that we can talk about is the audit. We'll again save between $8,000 and $10,000 if we don't do an audit. Now, it's been, the last audit was 2018. Unfortunately, it took them a year and a half to get the audit results back to us, which we were not too happy about. So perhaps we could find a different company to do that audit. But that said, that's one way. But I, as a board member, I'm going to stay silent on this. The recommendation is that you have an audit at least every 5 years. We're not at 5 years yet, so we can still delay it, but I want to hear what the membership has to say. If the membership thinks we need an audit, hey, have at it. If the people are fine with you know, moving forward and saving that $8,000 to $10,000, then you know, let's hear a motion from the membership to waive the audit for 2023, which would be a audit for the 2022 budget year, you know, move forward, and we can put that in our operating funds.
David, that vote comes on the proxy for the budget with the release of the rollover funds and the audit waiver. So that's when people would actually vote.
Right. Yes, but
it's good to hear now.
Well, here's the thing. It may or may not know. But depending on how you word the proxy, if someone's a proxy holder and someone makes a motion at the member meeting to waive the audit, if then we have enough votes, and I believe that magic number is 89, then you know, we can waive the audit. But let me find out more information from our condo attorney and from a resort who very well versed in what legally we need to do. You may be right. I mean, that may have to be included in the audit. I mean, rather in the proxy.
Yeah.
Specific.
Okay, we off to questions now?
Yes. Any board members have any questions?
Yes, I do, about landscaping. Where in the budget do we have money for landscaping for this next year?
That is in the grounds. We'll go back up there to grounds maintenance. There was $15,000.
Okay, so I would take,
there's 20.
Okay, so there's 20. So that would include the maintenance as far as the mulch and as far as any new plantings, correct?
And mulch.
Yes.
Yep. Yeah.
All right.
And it covers other things too, Joanne, like when the Toro engine had to get some repairs. I think it comes out of there too. So there's
okay.
A couple of odds and ends. You know, we try to keep those kind of things, but you know, we're gonna keep some of that material, the pieces or anything free running.
So when I need the committee, then I'll have an idea.
My suggestion is think 10 because of all the other things that are involved in that category.
Okay. I think, Joanne, that the, you know, you being the chairman of that, or the chairperson, I think that what Tina just said is absolutely correct. That needs to be more clearly delineated. If you're going to have to spend $5,000 in mulch, I mean, that consumes way too much of your budget. So I think we need to break that up, perhaps, Nancy, a little better. So it's...
I would say what would be best is, realistically, can the landscape committee make up of an estimate of what are the priorities, knowing that we're in a tight budget? What are the priorities if mulching, and honestly, if the landscape committee said I don't think mulching's important at all, then is that worth discussing?
Actually, we will need mulching for sure. We really need it every year because that's helpful for the plants.
Right, and we have not had mulching, so that's why we thought of serious mulching of 5,000 would be important.
Yes.
And then the thing is, as I said, all those other things that happen with machinery, et cetera, comes out of that as well. Tina and I was kind of hard because it's just lumped into one account. There's not one service man who does this, you know, but trying to find those numbers are a little more time-consuming. Certainly a realistic budget of what you think if mulching is going to take up 5 or whatever, or you have a different opinion on that, and then what you think might happen and the plan for next year, this is what we're looking for input on.
Okay, so I'm thinking maybe then 5 for mulching, 10 for landscaping. I can use 15 or no?
No, 10.
Only 10 with the mulch.
Mulch.
So 5 for landscaping and 5 for mulch. And I know that's a lot less, Joanne, but we're really looking at some of these other numbers are just so big.
Okay. Well, I understand.
Joanne, can I ask you a question here? Now, yeah. The board had approved this, like, 7,600 or something to do plantings around the clubhouse.
7,600.
Did that get done?
We've spent 6,400 or something already. And we had like 75 or 78 in that project. And I just called ROPO, and they're supposed to be getting a plan this week to us because I told them it had to go in before the rainy season stopped or we'd be spending so much money on irrigation.
That's right.
And
I told him the same thing. And he
Joanne did too. And I think, you know, we basically, both of us told him, it really can't go much more than $600-$700 to finish the clubhouse. But all in the front of the pool and all, even around the clubhouse, some of it has been done. And it looks phenomenal. I mean, it looks really good.
Okay, so really this is kind of what I would propose, being that Joanne has been extremely frugal in how she's allocated those funds. Whatever she projects that would not be spent this year should be added to her, because I don't think she can do it for $5,000 next year.
Oh, no,
I think that's not enough.
David, $10,000 and plus $5,000 for mulch.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I thought you said $10,000.
No,
and then $5,000 for all the rest of the things.
And then $5,000 for, like, repairs of the Toro and that kind of thing. That's what we figure. I mean, you never know what's going to break down, but that's the way I had come up with that number.
Okay, so $10,000 for plantings and $5,000 for mulch. That works.
All right. Then we're at 20. Looks good.
Okay. It does.
Sorry, I misunderstood Tina's allocation.
Okay.
Any other questions?
Oh, I have another question. Is there a reason that we came up with the 994.11? I mean, could we round that off? That seems like such an odd number for our increase there.
Yeah, that's just pure math.
Okay.
That's all that is. And actually, when we take out the 2,000, it's 991.26. So we would probably then propose something easier to pay.
Yeah, like 1,000.
I would say 1,000.
Oh, David goes up. I was going to say 990. Okay.
$1,000.
Let's do 1,000.
Yeah. We can use the money.
Yes, we can.
Yeah, so we would round that in the budget proposal that was sent to the owners.
Okay, any other board members have any more comments?
Can you go back to that security line item a second?
Sure.
Mark, thanks.
Question?
You had mentioned the new system, but what's in there now, and is the... So the going in position into the budget is we're going to get the new system, and it's 25 to get set up, start up, and then it's how much a year annually for the
It'll
operation?
For this particular company, it would be another $36,000. But if we contracted before the end of the year, we could take the $25,000, from this year and use it towards that. However, there's something wrong with these numbers because it shows year-to-date we've spent $65, and that's not true because I know that Key Security is under security, and we've spent way more than that, on that. So we're trying to decipher all this, and this $20,000 that was put in was before. It was a week ago, and we found out 4 days ago what the price of this thing was going to be. So it's not a totally accurate number.
Yeah. So also, if we go forward with that virtual agent, there would be a board vote. It's not a board approved thing yet, Gary. So we're just saying if we spent our 25 this year on it, we spent some already, then we'd have an ongoing commitment. We think 20 would carry us forward. But nothing, we're just kind of saying, what are we going to do with the 25 that hasn't all been spent? Some, as Tina said, we spent more than $65.
Yeah.
But we've got the 25, the bulk of it sitting there. How are we going to spend it by the end of the year? Otherwise, what happens is, you guys, it gets absorbed back into the budget. And where we've gone over on things like water and cable and everything, it keeps us on a positive revenue balance so that we have a net income instead of a net loss, because we have things that we have not spent money on and we have things we've spent too much money on. So
that's
carried over. Yeah.
That's why it's so important to roll the funds over. So they're there. We haven't lost them. They're sitting in the bank. They're just not allocated to anything at that point.
Well, that's why we pooled resources.
Right.
Yeah. But I'm guessing what was the target within the 25 now? Boards. Was it additional fencing? Was it a decal system? Or
It was fencing. It was cameras. It's repairs. Like I said, Key Security's out here all the time doing something. So that seems like the you know, the magic number, because we can always, if we only spend $6,000, for example, we can always put the other money into security fencing, security, anything, whether there's a new system or not. And if we don't spend it, we'll have a better idea at the end of next.
Yeah. And a year ago, when we were in this position doing this budget and we put this money in, we were in the same position we always were. Where's the Mitchell lawsuit going to end up? Where are we going to reconcile? Where are we going to have to put in our own border perimeter? And so we put the money in case that that had been reconciled and we would have the money to just start up on our fencing.
Okay. So the online or the cloud security is still relatively new. We'll look at it, maybe talk about it as part of parking and security, knowing who's here and who shouldn't be here in the president's forum or whatever you call it, and we'll just continue to develop that as an alternative down the road.
I should have that quote by Tuesday or Wednesday of next week, which it'll immediately go to the board and the security committee. And then I'm hoping to look into a few other companies with the security committee's help, and then we can get some more quotes and we can figure out if we want to do that or if we want to put the money into something else. It depends on so many things. Like Nancy said, the lawsuit, the...
I hear you.
Yeah, okay.
Then just, I know maybe you said it, they're cutting the grass outside, so maybe I missed it. But is there anything the master board will have to look at in terms of the requirements for that Florida structural engineering? I know there's just the clubhouse, the pool, the grounds, and there's got to be reserves taken into consideration in that. But will we have to do that? Should there be funds set aside for that? And then the second part of my question is I know you kind of said the reserves are kind of in flux because of the items, the time frames, the amounts. But I, as a board member, I would like to take a look at the reserves and so I can work with them, you know, as we push this thing along.
Well, you have that on that paper that was sent to you.
And it could be one with all our notes, and Tina and I did a whole bunch of up and down. When Resort takes these numbers, and as soon as we're done here, I'm sending them off to Resort, and they're going to put it into the right format. You're going to get that back with the cash flow in a nice, clean document that you can then review.
Well, let me just put it this way. Is there one item that sticks out, if any, because of any of the structural engineering new legislation coming through Florida that concerns the financial side for the property?
Let me just comment here. My big concern on our reserves is obviously they're all, not all, but they're pretty much all underfunded. I mean, realistically, when we, and the seawall is a good example of it. But being that what the master is responsible for is not residential, we are not subjected to this mandate that was passed in May.
Yeah, you're not over three stories.
Correct. Yeah. We're not a residence there at the clubhouse. So that's that. My concern, and I think we don't get this fire thing taken care of, which is planning to get that system decommissioned, potentially, we're talking... There's a leak in that main line. Don't forget, that thing runs under the road to the 300 building area. I mean, you're talking $450,000. And that was a few years ago when I talked to the engineers about that. And we have no funding in there. What do we have? Something ridiculous like $40,000.
Yeah.
We are so underfunded in that regard. Now, it may go away. I mean, we may never need it. That's why I think we need to keep pushing. You know, apparently what Bob Carlton said, he knew somebody that, you know, he thought could be very helpful in getting that thing decommissioned. We need to pursue that.
Yeah.
We
need so to, far,
whatever we, I'm sorry.
Yeah. No, so far that hasn't happened because the one guy that he thought could help can't, but he was given another name. So it's a long, drawn-out process. And then you have, like you said, the fire marshal is like the grand poobah of the world. And, they have the sole authority to commission it or decommission it. And even though we're really not using it, they're saying we could.
Okay, so we you have $6,200 estimate to, have that, R&R done on the pump. And before it can even test it, the pump has to be fixed. So.
Yeah, we can't even test the pump to see if it's okay until we spend $6,200 $6,400 to fix it.
And that comes out of the reserve, which would come out of the reserve for that pump, which is so woefully underfunded that it's better to spend that money. No use retaining the $44,000. Spend the $62,000 out of reserve.
But Mark, let me give you an example. Let's talk about the pool for just a minute, okay? The remaining life on the pool resurfacing is zero, okay? So in the future, we need to maybe put that estimated life at 10 years instead of 20. That's an exaggeration, but maybe, all right? But, so we had in there, the cost to replace it was $30,000. That's what's in there presently. So we figured, oh, well, $50,000 will work, if we refigure this reserve. Well, we just got our first quote back for pool resurfacing, and the one was for $58,000. We got two more coming within the next couple weeks, because it's so old, we have to bring everything up to code. So we have to replace tile. We have to replace those curved pavers on the top. We have to replace possibly the sign. We have to replace all kinds of stuff because of the code compliance.
So that gets back to where we had we had $26,000 left in that reserve because it came due in 2021. We haven't spent it in 2022. So here's where we thought it would be best to really review these things and decide, does that pool have to be redone now, because now we have to come up with another $20,000 to do that? Or is that something that we do in this pool or this whole reserve relook to say when's the best time to do all that, given all the other pressures we have on the budget?
Right. Okay. Someone's out there that knows, but I think that's the original pool resurfacing. I don't think that thing has ever been resurfaced. That's the original. So we're way beyond the useful life of that. And that's why we stopped funding it, because this number was picked 20 years ago as what it would cost to resurface. And that's why we're woefully underfunded. I really don't know what the solution is other than a special assessment when the time comes to do it to make up the difference. And because we don't have enough time now to say, and again, if we were going to do the pool resurfacing, we either would have to do it now or we have to, do it after April. Because this is like a 3-week deal to get that done, and I don't think the membership would be real happy with having that pool shut down for that long. So,
and we recognize too, there's a lot of full-time people that do live here, and there's more than there used to be. And so for them, it would be, the answer is not that we're just preserving it until April because of the seasonal, but also to say, get it done as quickly as possible if we could for the people that live here and use it all the time.
I'm meeting a guy tomorrow morning and I'm going to ask him a lot of questions. Like, could we just caulk where the sides come up to the top? Could we replace or reattach just a few of the pavers on the top? I'm going to find out the details tomorrow. Sorry, these quotes are coming in a timely manner, but anybody knows, not just in Florida, but everywhere, you can't get a contractor, you can't get permitting, you can't get anybody to call you back. Pretty pathetic.
Well, this permitting thing has gotten out of control. I mean, that's a way for them to generate money, and now they don't allocate the adequate personnel to deal with all the permits. But anyway, that's can take the money then to get that pump repaired so that we can do the necessary tests. But, you know, we need to approach the proper people and keep pursuing the decommissioning of that. And we need to get more information than, you know, regarding the pool. Eric, excuse me, are you in on any of this, or what's your thought about this? You're gonna have to unmute, Eric. Is
sorry, you're asking me, Dave?
Yes, I am.
I've had several conversations with Tina about this, and I think that Tina's approach is right. You know, see if the the bricks along the side could be repaired for really cheap money. I forget what the estimate that Tina had was, but it was cheap money. I'm not so sure that the pool needs to be repaired in that it's not leaking. Okay? It looks awfully good when you look down through the surface, so maybe that could be held off for another year or two and save that money because we have so many other expenses coming up, Dave.
Eric, I don't believe we can put it off for another two, but we might be able to put it off till spring, because when those chemicals and that water hit the material that the pool's made out of, I mean, it's just deteriorating at a faster rate, and things are becoming loose. They said we thought there was like 6 or 8 tiles loose, and there's like 50, according to the guy today. And I'll talk to the other guy tomorrow. But doesn't look like we can hold it off too much.
And even to hold it off, as Eric said, given that we really do want to go back and look at this reserve list and make it realistic, then I think that might fit in better for the bigger fix and just get what we can get done in the cheap money, as Eric said. I love it, cheap money. I love that idea. cheap money. And then,
Eric, what are you going down, Eric?
I'm sorry, Dave, say again?
When are you going down?
So probably third week in October, Dave.
Okay. All right, Tina, I would also suggest, being that the Twin Dolphin pool after Irma had to be resurfaced, and I know that Tom Rosenberg was involved with that, you may ask him who they used. I know the turnaround time was acceptable.
Okay, I can tell you that that's just coming out tomorrow. I already inquired Weber, and they use Stallman, and that's who's coming out tomorrow. And I know that Resort uses them for some of their properties, too.
My recollection, that was about a $60,000.
Yeah. Well, the one company said 58. We'll see what this guy says.
Okay.
So, but your pool's bigger, too, I think, isn't it?
No.
No, I don't think so.
Oh, I think it's smaller. This pool is huge. It's almost Olympic size.
Yeah. We're lucky to have such a big pool. Nice.
Yes,
indeed. Yeah, but fortunately, it's a rectangle, and that saves it a little bit just by design.
That's a very good pool.
Okay. Keep moving now. So Tina's going to get the pool estimate. Are there any other questions from anybody else?
How about the membership? Brett, can we open it up to membership? Any members have any questions on the budget?
Hey, Dave, it's Ken here. Just a comment that, you know, we're working our budget. I'm assuming all the other buildings are working their budgets, too. I'm trying to look through here and see where there's some sort of overlap. That couldn't we, as a group with 7 different buildings in here, get together and place some bids out there for, I mean, landscaping is obviously the master board, but, you know, the electrical, the air conditioning, even the legal or something like this. To get some sort of bidding process going with these guys so that we could maybe get some better prices overall instead of each building kind of on their own and not the board on its own.
And let me make a comment on that. I think the president committee could do that very easily. Last year, we tried to do it with the landscaping. And I'll give you an example. One of the buildings, everyone was going with Ropo. And one of the buildings had been using a company for years. They wanted to stay with them, so they wouldn't go with Ropo. Another building, it was a matter of $10 a month difference, and they wouldn't go they put out bids, and there was $10 difference, and they wouldn't go with ROPO. So
yeah.
We're not getting a lot of cooperation. Let me just say that.
And if we can't make it go with landscaping, which is certainly the most opportunistic service in front of us, it's doubtful we could ever do legal or anything else.
Yeah, yeah. Now, I understand. Just a thought.
With things like legal, there are legal lines and walls between the buildings and the master that sometimes cannot be breached.
Okay. All right. No problem. Just
asking. But it's a good thought. I wish it would work out.
No, bring it up at the President's Committee, because any subject, you know, that you can put together, it would help. Even, you know what I noticed, too, is like even garbage. It's like we have waste management for all the La Penn buildings, and we have waste management for Twin Dolphins, but yet they come on different days.
Yeah.
And that doesn't make any sense to me.
Yep.
Well, so that would help.
That is just like the landscaping. That's one of the reasons why we had approached ROPO, and he said, hey, if you get everybody, this is what I'll do. I mean, and the discount was significant that he was willing to offer if we got everybody. And the beauty of it is he said he would bring 18 people in there and get it all done in a day. I mean, here we listen to leaf blowers and lawnmowers, and it seems like it's nonstop. It's every day. Whereas if we could, that's a great idea, Ken, trying to get this coordinated. And I think Tina's right that the best place, I think, to address this is through the President's Committee. And
yeah. I'll throw in there the pest control. Pest control. David can talk about that. There's one.
It's got to be overlapping in a lot of places.
Yeah, it just seems kind of foolish that we all operate independently instead of under one kind of umbrella. But, yeah, I'll bring it up to the President. Yep.
Good.
Okay, great. Thanks, Ken. Anybody else have any comment on the budget?
Dave, this is Eric. I just no comment on the budget, but a request. Okay?
Yeah.
Okay. I think because we have the pool, the gymnasium, and the tennis courts all within close proximity, we need to have a defibrillator in case something were to happen. They're cheap money, they're user-friendly, and I really would request that the board consider that.
I don't disagree, except, I mean, I've witnessed this several times. Someone has a sugar loaf, you got someone running for the defibrillator and starts zapping them. Really? You know, so there's an associated liability with that. Let me check with the condo attorney and see what they say. Now, I'm not sure what the Good Samaritan laws are like in Florida, but I don't think we want to invite any more liability for the membership. Let me check it out and get back.
But notwithstanding that would seem to be an expense that would fit. It's not going to be huge. It would fit somewhere into one of these items. We don't need to worry about the budget getting adjusted, but that's certainly something to look at.
Yeah, and it's not a lot of money.
I worry about somebody that's not trained.
I ordered three of them, and they're cheap. And they're very useful.
Why don't you just bring yours, Eric?
All right, we're devolving into humor here. Any other questions?
Okay, any other commentary on the budget? All right, guys, we'll wrap it up. I have one more comment. You know, we had made the statement that, was, you know, it's a win for Capri that the planning committee, voted against us 6-1. But understand, this still has to go to the commissioners, the county commissioners, and I see that our representative, little by little, seems to be backtracking from what he said originally. And prior to this meeting, if I had to bet, I would have bet that he would have voted in favor of it. I'm talking about Rick LaCastro.
I agree.
And we don't know. But bring all the commissioners.
You still have opportunities to contact the commissioners and let them, know your feelings and that they should go along with the recommendation of the planning committee. So that said, Bill Russo, I see you. Did you want to say something there?
I mean, yeah, Dave, the only thing is I think it would be good if either we, the master board, or the club, the Capri CCI, put out a note saying the same. And, we've sent in cards and letters, and I'd be happy to do that again. But my feeling is exactly yours. I see La Casa is typically, if you look at his history, is typically voted with developers.
Yes.
And his comments or questions to many of us before the first hearing was, well, what do you want? Which is just opening the door. The vote was on zoning, rezoning, not what do you want.
Exactly.
So, you gotta
make sure. That was a political move, Bill. I mean, that was a political move to try to throw it back in our court and have us go 50 different directions.
So exactly.
We felt for it.
Yeah, and then they can just say, see, they don't know what they want.
Yeah, and I wrote to him and put it very succinctly that we just wanted to stick with the focus on the voting, and he came back with this smarmy reply about how I needed to, why didn't I make suggestions or something, trying to draw me into that, which I did not. And now I'm going to reply after this to say that he needs to support the Planning Commission. We also need to make sure that when we put in our letters, we thank the Planning Commission for seeing the wisdom of doing what they did.
Yeah, they were great.
And I have
during the sessions, they were good with their questions.
Bill, can I get you to do that, to draft that, and then we'll have Brett send it to all all the membership throughout Lap 10?
I'm happy to draft it, but I need the names of all the commissioners. And so that we get the names and the contacts, and when does this vote come up so that we can say, the vote is coming up this day, we need you to get postcards or letters to these guys or emails as soon as possible.
And we'll do that for you. Just if you would not mind putting something together, we'll get it to management. And they will find all that information out or include it. I mean, it's in the Coconutel there, but they can make it concise, send it out to everybody. And I think a good thing is to thank the Planning Commission.
I can draft it in the next 24 hours if and I'll look on the Coconut Telly and let me send it to who will take a look at it. Who wants to be the reviewer?
If you not, I'll look at it. Nancy.
Yeah, let Nancy do it.
Sure. Okay.
Thanks, Nancy. Thanks, Bill. Appreciate it.
All right.
Anything else? Any other commentary here?
I was going to say, David, you just want to, just before we close, is just do the mechanics one more time so everybody knows how this progresses?
Do you want me to do it or do you want to do it?
You can. I'm fine.
Okay. So basically what we're going to do, you guys just take a look at all of these things. If there's something that you think needs attention or in addition, please proceed. We can exchange emails with your thoughts. I would like to have had Denise in on this, that said, it is what it is, and it comes up, then we have to give a 14-day notice, which Brett will take care of, announcing a special membership meeting for budget only. That budget will be this drafts will be distributed. So if you have to do that, it's got to be 14 days, prior to October 13th, which means you have to get all your comments in, let's pick a day, by the 25th of September. And we can make whatever changes we need to make. It'll be presented to the membership then, within that 14-day requirement. Proxies will be solicited. I need to find out, maybe Brett, you can help me with this. What do we do then about waiving the audit? And again, I can go either way. I certainly would not mind saving that money, but I certainly would understand someone, wanting to, review what's happened over the last couple of 3 years. So perhaps we should just plan on sending a proxy out that says, waive the budget or waive the audit and transfer the funds from 2022 into 2023. Believe it or not, the past couple of years, every time we put that out, invariably someone votes to not transfer the funds. I mean, what do they think is going to happen? But that's a requirement, and we need to include that. So that's probably the way to go with that. We need a quorum for that October 13th meeting of the membership, which I believe that number is 89. And after that, it'll be followed up, if approved or amended by the membership, it'll be followed up by the Master Association shortly thereafter.
Hey, Dave?
That answer, question answered.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Sorry. Good, Eric. I just had a question on the reserves. Are we going to see the reserve budget?
Yeah, that will be attached with, Resort is going to take this working copy of mine and put it into the normal format, and then that will also have the reserve budget, but we're not touching that at this time because it just needs so much more work. So we're just going to leave that as is, with all these items we just talked about, the fire pumps, the pool, et cetera, kind of unanswered, but knowing we have to go forward with this.
Thank you.
At some point, are we going to assign a committee to work on the reserves?
I think that'd be a good idea.
If they'll work on it, do it in a timely manner.
I'll take care of it. I'll have anybody who wants to work on it. It will get done.
Bill Russo has a lot of experience.
Yeah, well, Bill Russo's busy as it is doing ours, so he's not volunteering, Ken.
Well, I will work on that if David's okay with it, and anybody who wants to work with me on it, please let me know.
Understand that if we have that type of committee, the meeting needs to be posted with 48-hour notice. And minutes need to be taken, just so you know.
Hey, Nancy, this is Eric. If I can help you, I'd be glad to.
Okay. Nancy, I'll volunteer. Okay, so we got three. Why don't we put it into the minutes about this and then see who else might want to. We can't have it, cast of thousands, but certainly a nice good group that we could sit down, do Zoom meetings, and brainstorm into this and make a realistic assessment for something that will happen probably January. I mean, is that realistic, David, that January would be a time for a vote on the reserve rehaul?
January or February.
Yeah. So it's not something we have to bang out in the next few months. It's really get this budget going so we are operating forward, and then realistically look at something January and February to realistically review our reserves.
All right. And I would volunteer to support, not lead. Bill Russo.
All right.
Okay, good deal.
Let's volunteer. Here, Linda, forget about Bill.
There you go.
What?
Yeah.
I got notes on both of them. I'm going to do both. How's that?
All right, that's good. Anything else before we wrap it up?
Dave, just one thing. Is at the beginning of the meeting, you talked about email address, talking directly to Resort to get on the email list so we know about these meetings. Can you chat or publicize or something? What's the email address that we send to request that we get notices? Because I know, like, Barb, my wife, isn't on that list. I don't know who to talk to.
He just needs to call Resort Management in Marco, and we can put that in the minutes, and just talk to Jill, and she can just do it right on the phone right then.
Yeah, if you can just put that in the minutes, I think not just for me, but for the benefit of the whole community.
There are 22 people that are not registered to receive anything by email. And Brett and I started this last week, and we will have a list shortly, at which point we can send to the president and ask them to get a hold of the owners. But if anybody else wants to add an email, can you do that, Brett? Can you have two emails for one account, or no?
Yeah, there's a primary and a secondary.
Okay.
I've been sending all the blast out to pretty much the primary, which is, there's only been a few that actually have a secondary email. Very few, actually. So.
Okay.
We're still working on getting all of them, though.
Yeah. We're aware that not everybody has signed up. You know, they signed up maybe for their building, but not for the master.
Yep.
Or they signed up for the master and not the building because they didn't realize they had to do it twice.
Yeah, it just seems like we've got 130-something homes and times two with two people on it. You got, what, about 15 people here on this meeting. So
right.
I think we can do better, you know. So. Okay.
All right. Anything else? Have a motion then for adjournment?
So move.
Second.
They've been moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, you need adjourned.